This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I'm buying a bikini trimmer and cat litter online at the same time because I keep all of my pussies fresh.
Thank you. I'm Brandy Posey, and Valentine's Day could really use a Krampus.
I'm Tess Barker, and my husband and I have the same fantasy, but neither of us have ever tried it. Going to bed at 9 p.m.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hey, everybody. Valentine's Day. That was all of our Valentine's to you, our intro jokes.
Aren't we
Happy
fun?
Happy
Valentine's. Happy Valentine's Day. I love Valentine's Day. I fucking love Valentine's Day.
Do you?
Oh, okay. I have Valentine's nails right now.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it.
Are you guys doing anything fun for it?
What's
the plan?
Well, we are, but it's going to be Monday because Sean's like working like crazy. So he's going to be in Vegas. Monday we're celebrating. We're going to get massages.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
We usually celebrate not on the day because I just don't want to deal with the craziness of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're doing, but it'll be fun, whatever it is.
That's cool. We're going to Lucha Vavooms that night. So I've always wanted to go.
Good.
Yeah. So we're going to go do that.
That'll be really fun.
It'll be hard to top the year that we went to the Magic Castle on Valentine's Day because I was like, oh, this will be stupid and fun. But it was the day after the Bengals lost the Super Bowl, which was here in LA. Uh-huh. So it was like all wives of sad Bengals fans that had flown in from Ohio.
Oh, no.
That dragged their husbands to the Magic Castle for Valentine's Day.
Oh, no.
So it was a bunch of sad Ohioans just like being forced to watch Magic. I mean, honestly, I'll never go to the Magic Castle again because it was a perfect experience.
That is so funny. What a specific moment in time.
Yeah, who knew that Cincinnatians were so into the Magic Castle or even knew about it?
Well, that was like the twofer. It's like, okay, we'll go to the game, but we also have to go to the Magic Castle, if we're going to go to LA. Yeah.
If you're going to make me be in LA for football on Valentine's Day, then you're gonna take me out and we're gonna do a nice thing. And
we're
I saw the Magic Castle.
$50 for a Caesar salad and watch Magic.
Yeah. Exactly. TripAdvisor says it's good magicians, eh? That's not how they talk in Cincinnati, Brandy. I know. I'm just throwing all the accents out.
Like Wisconsin.
I'm rewatching Fargo. I can't help it.
Daddy might get you will get a wash your hands.
Okay.
So wash your hands before you eat your $50
Caesar salad. Exactly.
Yeah.
That is what I remember from the food there, because you have to buy dinner if you go, and the dinner is very expensive.
Yeah.
And I just remember the salad.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the hack where you don't have to buy dinner? Because I've been and not had to buy dinner, but there's like a way to do
it. If you know a magician that gets you tickets, a magician needs to put you on their list.
But then you still have to know someone to get in the first place. But then knowing the magician, I guess, is the extra step. Honestly, shocked we aren't in that position yet. Knowing a magician.
Me too. Oh.
We could, we kind of
do. Yeah, that's true.
We know a few.
That's true.
Ron Lynch can get you in.
That's true. Oh, he can?
Yeah. Rachel, our friend Rachel is part of the Magic Castle.
Right.
She's gotten me on that list before.
On the magician list?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
On the magician list. She takes magic classes there.
Wow.
Or
she has friends in magic places.
No big deal, everyone.
Not to lie or anything,
I fucking also brag. Love the Magic Castle, which I feel like is the Valentine's Day of places.
It's amazing. Like,
kind of corny, cute.
Yeah, it's
amazing,
corny in the same way.
Glamorous. Yeah. Oh, man.
There were also a lot of magicians on dates that clearly had brought dates to Valentine's Day at the Magic Castle because they were like, you know, I'm part of the family. I'll show it off. But like, you could tell who the magicians were. So because they all had a little flashier of an outfit. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, ooh, everyone has their nice flame gear out tonight. This is
amazing. Well, happy Valentine's, everybody. This is our Valentine's to you. Yes. We love you.
Thanks for being our Palentine's.
Oh, yeah.
And our galentines.
Our gals and our pals. If you're a Patreon subscriber, on March 7th, we are having a Get Shit Done party. That is where we're going to gather together for a few hours, and you're going to bring the stuff that you have been not wanting to do, and you're going to get it done with us. So it's going to be super fun. We'll be live from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll just all be taking care of, you know, stuff together, and it's going to be really fun. So that will be on the evening of March 7th. For all of our Patreon subscribers, go to patreon.com/ladytolady to join. And I mean, we have a lot of extra fun stuff on there all the time. We're doing these kind of pop-up lives as well consistently. We offer so much bonus content, and we are very consistent with it. So go check it out, and we will see you on that for March 7th. And now we're going to tell you some show dates so you can come be our Valentines in person and support us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting two new shows in March. So, hey, if you're in LA, come to one or both. First one's on March 13th at the Comedy Store at 10:30 p.m.
That's my birthday.
Oh, yes, it is. It is on Brandy's birthday also. So come to my show and celebrate Brandy's birthday. It's very late. So you know what? Make sure you start drinking caffeine at like 8 o'clock. So
good health advice.
Yes, I think so. 10:30 at the store. It's going to be fun. Me and Ashley Ray are co-hosting that. And then on the 27th, I have a new show starting at the Silver Lake Jewish Community Center called Larry David Presents. And I'm co-hosting with Ray Schiller, who's a really funny queer Jewish comic. And so those are both happening. And I'm also doing a show for Purim on the 23rd. Wow. Even though I was like, I just want you to know I'm not Jewish. And they were like, let me check. And they were like, that's okay.
So, March 23rd, my birthday? You're doing shows on both of
yes,
our birthdays?
Yes, I just...
Wow.
I did book on your birthdays. I'm sorry.
Wow.
But I feel like you've got something going on.
Yeah.
I do, actually. Well, first of all, I'm going to be in Denver, Colorado on March 14th and probably booking something either the 13th or the 15th. But definitely I'm going to be at Sushi High on March 14th, headlining there.
Woo.
You know I love my Denver bubbas, so come see me. And then my birthday weekend, March 22nd, I'm recording my album, which I'm so excited about. March 22nd at the Arch Society in Reno, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. I'm so fucking excited. I'm releasing my album on Brandy's label, Burnness Records.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll be there for the recordings too. I'm super stoked to see Tess crush her album in an hour and put it out. And it's going to be, that'll be out later this year. And then you'll hear her promoting that as it's coming out also on my other podcast, Burn This Podcast, which is like interviewing all the people that are on the label as their stuff is coming out. Actually, our guest this week is also on Burn This Week. So you want to get a double dose.
Whammy.
Little double whammy. And you get to hear a couple sneak tracks from the album before it comes out, which comes out this Friday, the 16th. And speaking of, our guest is amazing. She's a comic that performs all over the country. She's a regular here at the Improv in Los Angeles. Enjoy our interview with Jean Whitney. Oh, baby, it's podcast time.
You know, we're all shooting on all cylinders. So
shooting on cylinders?
I was like, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, this is the wrong statement.
About cars or guns?
What about a gun
about
car?
Cars.
The most American of inventions.
Gun car.
A gun car. Which is a tank, I guess, also we made. So
yeah.
that's been thought of by the military.
Yeah, exactly.
Gun car.
And we have gun boats, and we don't have sufficient health care.
Yeah, gun planes, but no.
Gun planes.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, my God. I saw a, you know, just a thing where I was like, I wish I had more money. Somebody made like an old Boeing or something like into like a hotel suite or like an Airbnb where one of the wings is out over the ocean. So you can walk out and like hang out on the wing over the ocean. Scary. And all this shit. I know, but it looked amazing.
That's so fun. It's like very,
it's hard to explain.
Chic.
I'll have to send you guys a link. Yeah.
I have an attainable version of that to suggest to you.
Okay.
I like attainable.
I haven't stayed there yet, but one of my coolest friends stayed there and has suggested it to me. But at the JFK airport in New York, they've converted the old TWA terminal into a hotel.
Ooh. Oh, I've seen photos of this. Yeah.
I'm dying to stay there. Like next time I have an early flight out, I'm going to stay there. But it's an old 70s airport terminal. That's a hotel. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And the pool is like on where the runway used to be. So you can like sit out at the pool and like watch planes take off and stuff. Yeah. And the lobby is like they have one of those old timey, what is that? Like an itinerary wherever it shows the.
Oh, yeah. The departures, sure. Arrivals.
Yeah. They have like one of those old timey ones with the little like flippy tiles. Ooh. That like change the letters and numbers.
I love that. That makes me excited to travel when I see the flippy letters. I'm like, oh, this is.
I wonder how those worked. It wasn't someone flipping them, right?
It just like knows what letter, how many rotations to get to the thing or whatever.
I will say, as someone who's like had to like personally change a marquee thing with like the letters, I don't know if anyone's had to do that. It's such a pain in the ass. So
it seems like
it's like one
job.
Of those things where you're like, this is like appealing for me to look at, but just know there's a lot going by.
Yeah, it falls into a category of job that looks whimsical, but it's probably a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's you have to use this giant grabby suction thing to like suction the letters off and take them down.
Oh, wow. And what if you had a resentment towards the place you were putting those letters up at? Yeah. It would be really hard
to not just say
lots of terrible hidden messages.
F you, I quit. Yeah. I hope somebody's quit that way.
I'm still angry. I mean, I have to say I'm angry with Rick's drive-through because I wanted for my 40th birthday, I was like, I wanted to say happy birthday to me on their marquee because they do this for people, right?
Yeah.
And so I told Adam, I was like, this is the thing I want for my birthday, you know? And so he was like, okay, I tried to make it happen, but it says help wanted and they said that they really do need people. And I was like, you can put
Flipped
it under
over
that.
Wow. No. And also, Adam, get a job. Get a job for one day. Get a job for one day. Change it to your.
What kind of boyfriend are you?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. You're messed up.
And now
up.
It just says spaghetti is immortal, which is fine, but that's been there for a long time.
That's true.
To be fair, spaghetti will be here before and after us.
Yes, that is very true. What? The worms of the earth.
The best worm. What's everyone's favorite noodle?
As long as it's thick. I like anything that cooks up chewy and thick.
Like
that's
a thick,
so creepy.
Thick nude. All right, cool.
Yeah.
I like egg noodles.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Really good.
Yeah, egg noodles are good.
Shit. I mean, this is
they're soft.
You guys just tried to make me choose my favorite bread a couple episodes ago. I mean, it so depends on the sauce for me.
Yeah.
I'm very pansexual when it comes to noodles. I will fuck with anything, but right now I'm kind of craving like a classic spaghetti and red sauce.
Yeah, just a straight that makes sense.
I don't do angel hair. I don't fuck with that shit. No? Adam likes it. Get
I like
it away
angel
from
hair
me.
You get it away from you.
Yeah, no,
you
it's
won't
too
even
thin
eat it?
I need wow. I, it's too thin.
I made spring rolls last night with vermicelli noodles. Do you fuck with a vermicelli?
Yeah, because that's like in a thing. It's not, okay. I mean, I'm not putting sauce on that to make that be like the base.
Also, they did not look like the restaurant. Let me just say, a spring roll, much like a marquee, is a difficult, a whimsical thing that is actually a huge pain in the ass.
That is a big undertaking.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I listened to one of your episodes yesterday, and it made me want pasta. So I did eat pasta last night.
Yes. You saying we have? Are you saying we're coming back to the pasta conversation?
So is this the first time we've talked about pasta recently?
I don't know. I can't remember which episode it was, but you were talking about pasta.
I did. I had like a few friends over for dinner recently, and I was like, I had everyone make like a, or, you know, everyone made a quart or whatever, a dish. Mm-hmm. And I was like, like Lampy made the sauce. I was like, I'm going to make the spaghetti. And so cut to like people are coming over and I'm like, I haven't even like rolled out the spaghetti yet. It was such a big undertaking. So I'm sitting there like everyone's like hungry and I'm like, I'm trying to like finish putting it through the thing. It was just like so much more of a, and then it was not enough for everybody. It was a whole.
Oh, no. I mean, just sounds like dinner in a show, frankly. Just Barbara flailing like a Muppet in the kitchen.
And like they were all like such wildly different sizes, the pieces. They were good though. I mean, homemade, like, you know.
Wait, really have you wrong, seen that TikTok? Because there's like a weird chunk of TikToks that are like women making food that looks awful, and I think it's just made to enrage us, right? Where they like,
they
put things on a counter together. But have you seen the one of the lady that ground up spaghetti noodles and then she like made them into really, she like put eggs in them and tried to be like, they're real noodles now, and she made real thick ones. I wanted to hit her. I was like,
she made basically a dust out of the spaghetti and then made that dust into dough to make noodles from. It was extremely enraging. Yeah, there's like a whole thing. There's two things. There's the 5 minute crafts. Has anyone watched these?
No, I've not seen these.
Where they basically like show you, it's like the end result is like, I don't know, a Billy the Big Mouth bass with like full of eggs, and you're like, why would anyone make this? And so then it's like someone has a saw and a solder, and like it's the idea is that it is not a 5 minute craft, nor is it a craft anyone will ever make in their life. Mm-hmm. And there's some weird, somebody said they're a fetish thing, I don't fucking know, but they're just like out there to troll you basically. Mm-hmm. People are just making, I'm like, I can't even make content that I like think is good, and you're just like putting content out there to purposely anger people. It's a lot. Yeah. And then there's the ladies actually making food.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the ones where people film like fake airplane scenes? I saw this like...
They make me crazy.
Rent out like an airplane set, and then they're just like filming like, oh my God, look at this. And you're like, this is so fake. Why are you pretending this is real?
Yeah. Exactly. It's like confrontations trolls on a plane. But like...
Yeah. It's just... And I guess ones. I'm like, do people think this is real? I guess they don't care.
I don't know. I think the important thing is we're all putting too much pressure on ourselves to be good at our craft.
I thought Jerry Springer was real until like 5 years ago, if that gives you an
idea. Really?
Yeah.
Well, people do just believe.
Is any of it real? Like, are any of the stories real? Or are they
the age-old question?
I bet there was a point that there were. And I bet that like, I bet you also some of them are like 70% real. And then they really like upped it from there. Like, I think there's an emotional kernel of truth in a lot of those episodes. Whether the facts align, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the thing that is true is there are people who are like this.
Yes.
That's the thing. So, they tapped into that.
Yeah.
So
I've heard stories.
Yeah. I wish, you know, like every person you know who you're like, look, I wish I didn't have to interact with you on a day-to-day basis, but I would watch your reality show, you know?
Yes.
Those are the people that just need to be corralled into, like, the Jerry Springer.
To entertain us, yeah.
Yeah, reality show world where it's like, I like watching you, but I don't want to have to deal with it myself.
Right. Maybe reality shows are good in that way, in that it gives a lot of awful people, like, a platform and a playground.
I think so, because... Yeah, like what were those people doing pre-2003? We don't even want to know.
Right.
You know, like,
they were being in an office fucking or a workplace annoying someone.
Just torturing people. And it feels kind of similar like to sports, right? Like a lot of athletes are like scary.
Mm-hmm. They need an outlet.
They need an outlet.
Right.
Like if you're a football player, like you need to be a football player because you can't be doing that at Vaughn's.
Or at the end of Mean Girls, I can't remember the main character's name, but she becomes like a soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So that
yeah.
she can get out her aggression.
Right. So she can like headbutt people. Yeah.
Exactly. Did you guys A, play soccer, and B, ever get an opportunity to head a ball?
I went to one soccer practice where it was like a co-ed team, and a boy accidentally kicked a ball directly into my face, and I said, no, pain. I play softball, and and I never came back. I was like,
that's such a specific pain.
Yeah, I was like, absolutely not.
Yes, I played soccer with my theater friends, and we had a musical kickoff in which we had a choreographed number that we would do before we kicked the ball.
So not an official team.
Class of sports.
I mean, it wasn't only theater kids, but it was like me and like three friends I went to theater camp with. So we were like, we're taking over. And we wore like gold lipstick. You know, we really had a good time with it.
Oh my God. What song did you kick off to? Do you remember?
Part of it was from Muppet Christmas Carol. I don't really know. When I watched Muppet Christmas Carol this year, it came back to me because there's a part where like the rats who work for what's his fuck?
Ebenezer. You know,
the bad guy, Ebenezer Scrooge. They like, he's like, he threatens them, and then they're like, this is my island in the sun. Anyway, that was part of our kickoff. And then we had like a whole move thing. And I was like, I really came back to me after I saw that this year. And I was like, oh, my God. Wow. We had all. I think we were just there to like, we just really tried to like be crazy towards the other teams, you know. Yeah.
But you guys were doing that with regular teams?
Oh, yeah. We were playing the game. Like, we had games that we played. I have pictures of me in a soccer uniform, like with the rest of the team, like with an actual team.
This is funny because this is very like Little Giants, but. You guys like didn't win the championship.
Yeah, no, we weren't winning anything. We were just, and I remember like we would taunt the other teams in a very specific way. I don't know. There was a lot going on there.
I love it.
It was a good time.
Jean, did you play soccer?
I didn't. I played baseball or softball. I think I was okay at it. I can't really remember. And I tried to play basketball for a bit, but I was so bad. And, I just distinctly remember at the end of a game, the other team like high-fiving me because I had helped them win.
Oh, no. Damn.
And I was like, yeah, somebody's not mad at me. Like, that felt really good.
Like, you didn't even take it for the insult that it was.
No, I just was happy somebody wasn't pissed. You know, I'm not very coordinated. So it's, sports is hard for me.
Are you tall?
I'm tall, but I'm sort of like a noodle when it comes to
noodling can happen when you're tall because it's just a lot of distance like between your arm and all the other points of your body.
Yeah. Yeah,
did you head a ball? Tess?
What's that?
Did you head a ball?
I did. I headed a ball. Yeah, my best friend was like really good at soccer and her dad was like the coach. So I only played one season. My team was terrible, and I was the worst person on that team. We were called the Elephants. Lost every game.
The Elephants.
That was your actual sitcom mascot?
Our actual mascot. Like, we had a mom.
That's
make us
great.
A
there should be more elephants.
I know. And I think our thing was charge, but then we never – I don't even know if we got a goal.
Damn. Oh my God, you just reminded me. Yeah, our friend's dad was the coach, and he would just no offense, not great. This was his main yell.
He's listening, don't worry.
Kick it! Kick it! Kick it! Kick it! Kick it! Kick it! Kick it!
Just a fun experience for all the children.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I now as an adult, I have friends that like coach games or have kids that play that shit, and like, I know it's different if it's your kid.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you that like emotionally?
Yeah,
invested?
What? Who's doing that?
Like, I don't think know. It's absurd when grown-ups watch college football because I'm like, those are children. Like, why are you getting all butthurt about children playing football? Like, so when they're like fourth graders, I just can't. How could you think the stakes are that high?
My brother was because nobody else would step up. My brother was the soccer coach for my niece's soccer team last year, and my niece is 4. So it's at the age where it's just like children running around like willy nilly playing
soccer.
That's
the best when they just are literally just like doing nothing.
But he said that like he will never do it again because some of the parents were just like too aggro. And he was like, these are 4-year-olds. And then also like they would, yeah, they just had a lot of notes for his coaching. And he was like, number one, you wouldn't do this. And number two, like I have a full time job. And they're number three, they're 4-year-olds. It's like, who cares?
That's the culture though.
Yeah.
That's the culture.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. People are just so competitive. Like they can't help it with their kids. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I went to the batting cages this weekend, or no, this weekend, this week with Liz Batiste, former guest. And there was like a dad yelling at his kid while he was like in the batting cages. And I was like, well, this isn't helpful. He's not going to hit them with you yelling at him. Just leave him,
it's
leave
so
him alone.
So uncomfortable when there's like a dad doing that in public and you're just like,
Yeah.
Just like watching someone like be like, well, we're going to talk about that in therapy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Did anybody grow up in like small towns where like the high school football was the big?
Yeah, you know? It was definitely big and not like it wasn't like Texas big, but it was definitely like we would go to the high school games and stuff like that. It was thing where I was. Yeah, same. For sure.
Yeah, we had that in Maryland, although it was funny because like my high school's team was our football team was really bad, but our field hockey team like finished first at state for like 15 years in a row. So the field hockey girls were like the jocks of Severna Park because
were they
undefeated. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The field hockey girls were like, they were the number one athletes in the school.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Was football big in Indiana, Gene?
Yeah. Like it's, even if for like adults who I think don't have any kids in the game.
No, you don't. It's not necessary at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, well, they went to that high school when they were younger. So now they're really crazy about it. And, I really hated it. I really hated all the like the football loving when I was in high school.
Oh, it really annoyed me. I feel like, did you not go to games or anything?
I would. Just to like hang out with my friends, but just the pep rallies at school, I just really hated. And well, there was two rival schools on like the west side. That was like Mater Dei, which was the Catholic school, and Wright's the public school I went to. And they would have a huge pep rally on the day of the game. And I had like a Mater Dei Letterman jacket from my brother. So I wore it to this pep rally just to kind of piss everyone off. And they ended up like, I walked across the gym floor and they ended up like booing me and their the mascot came and tackled me. And I just, I got in big trouble, but I was just like, I don't know. I just hated. I was like, why aren't you guys this excited about theater? Why is it all about football?
Also, was the mascot a grown up or a child? And did they face any consequences for tackling you? And also, that's really funny.
The mascot was a high school boy. I don't know if, he picked me up and kind of like swung me around. I think I got down pretty easily, but no, he did not face any consequences.
Still, don't touch my person. How dare you?
No.
What was your mascot?
Our mascot was a panther.
Oh, yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, you can't have a scary panther come up touching me like that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, thank you. Actually,
what are the rules with mascots these days? Like, you're not really supposed to touch people randomly. Yeah. But
I mean, you go to the pep rallies and you, I guess, get people to cheer and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Gritty does a lot without touching people. So to me, I'm like, the bar is extremely high, you know, for what you can do. You just have to be creative with it.
We always used to, we had like an inside joke growing up in my house that my mom was secretly the Utah Jazz bear, which like, because like she kind of, she had like back problems and we'd always be like, yeah, well, we just saw you like rolling down 3, you know, sections onto the floor. So, and we'd always be like, you never see them both in the same place at the same time.
I feel like I want you to write this TV show. It's like Hannah Montana, but with a mom in Salt Lake City.
Oh my, that is a fun, yeah. I'm definitely down. Yeah, I didn't really give a fuck about any of the high school. I think, like, literally, I only remember one game, going to a high school game when I was in junior high, because I had to, like, negotiate a kiss with the boy I was, quote, dating. That was the most exciting thing that ever happened. Yeah, we had a lot of business to attend to.
Babs Gray, kiss negotiator.
I feel like I went to almost every football game, but there's probably not a single game where I could have told you a thing that happened.
No.
Like, I didn't even look at the field.
No, I was in the marching band, so we did the halftime shows, but, like, no one paid attention to the actual game. We were just talking shit, like, in the stands. And then be like, oh, it's time for us to go down and do Les Mis for everybody? Okay. Well, you know, that fun halftime show that everybody wants to see.
I mean, that's how I am at any sports event now, because I don't really pay attention, and I'm just there for hot dogs or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, basically. I chose a college that didn't have a football team, and that was, like, a very big part of the choice.
It is funny to me when people, it's, like, funny, like June was saying, people would be, like, really into it because they went to that high school, and it's just like, what? I just don't get, I'm like, I don't have any, like, pride of,
I guess people had a really good time.
Oh, yeah. There. Okay. I had a very good time, but I still, it's not like I'm like,
I didn't have a terrible time.
Yeah. I'd say I had a good time, but, like, objectively, my high school was a piece of shit. Like, there was a hole in the fence that everyone knew about, and we would flee through the hole in the fence because it was a place you fled.
Right.
I think the important thing is we've all had good times since high school, and that's why that isn't, like, the good memory that we think back on.
Yeah, I had better high school. I mean, I had better, like, experiences after high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That should be the goal.
Yeah, I would think so.
Right.
No comment.
Yeah. Was it weird? So Gene's putting out an album on Burn This Records that's actually available for pre-order right now, but you're talking on it a lot about, like, you went back to Indiana during COVID, where you're from. So did you run into a lot of, like, your high school, former high school people while you were there? Was that weird? Or
I guess I did, because, like, COVID wasn't really happening there in the same way it was here. Right, like, people were not, you know, really shut down.
It was not being acknowledged.
Yeah, I don't mean it like it didn't exist there, but it was not being acknowledged there. So, you know, I mean, when I got there, people had just started wearing masks. It was, like, July, and people would, like, wear it under their nose to be passive aggressive. Anyway, I would see a lot of people I went to high school with, some people in my grade. I dated somebody that I was in high school with for a little while I was back home.
Cute.
And, that's fun.
And I don't mean to, I don't mean to sound like a dick, but I have a really bad memory from that time period, because I was just drinking a lot. So I don't remember a ton of people, although there are a lot of people that stick out. People will be like, oh, I saw someone from high school, and they're like, you came into our class and you were like, I'm going to leave and go smoke a cigarette. And you did. And I was like, I totally have no memory of this.
That's so funny.
Maybe it's better I don't remember those things, but I still have, like, a core group of friends that I know from high school that I talk to and I see when I go back home.
Yeah. Long yeah, the crew. That's the important thing.
Yes, the crew. And we were all kind of like, I felt like we were all kind of like misfits or something. And
No, I have totally. That exact same group.
Yeah, for sure. Same. Yeah.
I don't know if misfits was the word. But...
No, I mean, we're all really cool, but.
Well, I guess we just didn't. I just felt like in my hometown, everybody. I don't know that I don't mean misfits in a bad way. Just like everybody was, you know, I don't know. Try not to be mean.
Yeah.
Everybody was really,
everybody else were losers and they didn't have anything going
on. Yeah. We were cool. We were cool kids that were like into, we were, I don't know. I just felt like everybody was into sports and,
That wasn't the place you were meant to thrive, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, me and my friends were like, I'm like, we weren't cool, but we were filming like music videos to weird shit and like, you know, and just like making weird stuff and being idiots. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is cool, but it was not cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, is sketch comedy cool? No. But
it's cool if you're in high school.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're like doing bits and stuff, but it's like, you know, is it cool? I don't know.
When I look back at my life, like one of the dumbest things I ever did was stay in high school an extra year just for fun. I could have graduated in 3 years. Like I was done with school. I went to college while I was still in high school.
Wow.
So I was done academically, and then I was gonna like go off to college, and then at the last second I was like, but I want to go to prom with my friends, and so I just like stayed culturally in high school for another year.
Now this is the movie. Yeah.
I mean, and I did have a lot of fun that year, but it was just like, why?
I feel like that's just all you rolled into like a very specific, like this is Tess Barker. Yeah. She graduated high school in 3 years, but hung out just to like chill.
You're a reverse Van Wilder.
I was. Yeah. I forget if I've ever talked about it on here. I've told the story on stage, but I was already a sophomore in college and I'd been like accepted to go to school. I was not going to have to do my freshman year. So I'd already been like accepted to go to Emerson. And because like high school was such a joke to me, I took a class called Practical Math that was like, what's 25% off of a t-shirt? Like that kind of math, right? And I was like, whatever. But I like didn't need, I was already had been in college for a couple years. And so like that model of like, I'll just learn the shit, show up, take the test, turn in my papers. Like I kind of was viewing class as quite optional. And my school had a policy where if you had over, and this class couldn't have been easier, right? Like I just needed to be there for I didn't need to learn anything from the teacher. And so that's what I was doing. My school had a policy where you got an automatic F if you had like over a certain number of absences. And this dude was giving me an F. And I was like, and like 3 days before graduation, like my grandparents had flown out, like everyone was flying out. And my principal's like, you're not gonna be able to graduate because you're getting an F in practical math. And I was just like, no, I'm already a sophomore in college. Like, I have to graduate high school. And I was like, come on, Mr. Tackett. And he was like, I mean, I was like captain of the mock trial team. I was like, come on. And he would not budge. Mr. Black would not budge. And so I went in the day before graduation and I was like, I was like, I'm already in college. You have to pass me. Like, you have to pass me. I'm already in college. And he would not budge. And so I physically blocked the door. I was much taller than him, and I stood in the door like this, and I was like, I'm not leaving until you pass me. And we had, like, a stand down with each other, and finally he agreed to give me a C-.
Wow. Oh,
my God.
Wait, and you weren't coming to class because you were doing other classes, right?
Yeah, I was in college. Yeah.
What an asshole.
I know.
What's
your problem?
Total prick. Total prick.
Oh my God. All right, we got to find stalk someone on Facebook really quick. We'll be back in a second, everybody.
There's a lot of talk about what era we're in. We're in our hot girl era, our candy for breakfast era. Well, how about say goodbye to cheap razors era? I mean, really, the audacity of us spending all this money on skincare just to use a janky razor. Let us introduce you to Athena Club. You've probably heard us talk about Athena Club because honestly, we're obsessed with these razors and this shaving cream. Honestly, for me, it's about the thoughtful details. I love that it has this magnetic hanger that you can use in your shower, so my razor is never just sitting there in water and soap getting all gross. And here's the thing. This award-winning razor kit has everything you need to elevate your shaving experience, and it only costs $10. Ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code LADYTOLADY at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Jean.
Jean. Okay.
Hi.
We're going to ask you some stupid questions.
Awesome.
If that's a random.
Right. Here's our theme song.
Hey, Blinken's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I didn't make it up.
Oh, my God. I can't. It's just like, that's so random.
So random.
So freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So freaking random.
That's so random.
Not Raven.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
Random.
My God. Random.
Wow.
Solid jam.
Biggest hit.
I love it. Okay. All right, Jean.
Yes.
Who would be the most awkward person to accidentally say, I love you to?
A boss.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Especially a boss you don't really get along with, or
yeah.
I
was gonna say therapist, but I do think the boss is worse.
I think therapists probably get it quite a bit, but
right,
they're well trained in like dealing with that. Like a boss, that's gonna maybe be his first time, and then of course it's a guy.
Yes, it's a guy. I just had someone in mind that I'm like, if I accidentally said I love you too, I'd be like, oh my God. I'll never look at you again.
Yeah, no, that would be hard, cause especially if it's like at the end of like a phone call about like arguing about a shift or something.
Right.
All right, I love you. Bye. Fuck. No.
I don't.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a random one. Here we go.
Okay.
Ever wanted to go into a black hole thinking it may take you back in time or forward in time?
I've never even thought about that.
So I guess it's no.
No. No, I've never thought that. If you go into a black hole, well, we don't know what happens if you go in a black hole, right?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like something one survives.
Yeah, you'll probably get ripped apart.
Yeah, I think it's that the pressure is like so intense. But then it's like, is it so intense that it sends your atoms to a different time? I don't know. We need a if you're a scientist, leave us a voicemail at the end of the show. Let us know what you think happens inside of a black hole.
Would you rather go in the future or in the past?
Oh, good question.
I'm going past. I don't want to see the future.
I know. Well, and if you saw the future, you could come back and tell people, but they probably wouldn't believe you. You could be like, we can't do this.
And it's like, I feel like we already know enough of what's going to happen and aren't stopping it. So it's like,
right.
Well, and also it's like, if somebody like was like, did a press conference and like, I was in the future and I saw this and we got to stop it. People would be like, yeah. Like,
I think that's what Don't Look Up is about, right? I didn't see it, but it's like basically.
Yeah.
They know that an asteroid is coming to Earth.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I was going to say future, but then when you guys started talking, I was like, honestly, like, I might be too vain to go to the future. Like, I don't.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I want to see me or not.
Yeah. If I don't have to see my own self in the future, I think future.
I don't think you would, right? Or, like, you can't. If we're playing by Back to the Future rules, you also, like, shouldn't see your own self.
Shouldn't.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
well, no, but we're talking about seeing. I guess you can, but they can't see you.
I have so much anxiety. I might go to the future, but maybe it would be a bad idea. You don't know.
Just to see what happens.
That's a great thought experiment. Like, I wonder if going in the future would lessen or increase your anxiety. Because so much of anxiety is just like speculating about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Also, going back in the past as a woman, you'd have to pick a time zone where you were allowed to just walk around alone. And that would be tricky.
Well, yeah, I feel like this is always a question that it's like, okay, depending on who you are and what, you know, it really varies on where you might want to go as far as the past goes.
Right.
Yeah. I will say this. I would like to do a drug in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
60s Woodstock. Yeah,
that would be fun. For a social media detox, going to the past would be great.
Yeah, you'd be like, you keep reaching for your pocket, like, oh, something's vibrating in my pocket, and people are like, "What do you think's in your pocket, man?" And be like, "Oh, this future box. Don't worry about it." It would also be nice because there'd be all this stuff that I'd be like, "Oh, I missed that. I mean, I don't know how to make it, but I could tell you what it should be."
Right.
Like, I don't know.
I feel like my luck would be like, I would get this opportunity at a moment where I had anxiety about something really stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'd be like, oh, like, is like someone mad at me? And so I'd be like, I'm just going to go in the future and find that out and be like, I wasted it.
Yeah. Same.
It's like, God damn it. That was worthless. Yeah, I'm re-listening to the Stephen King book, 11/22/63, where this guy has a chance to go back and like stop JFK from getting shot. Mm-hmm. And it does, the descriptions of like how good everything tastes because there's not like preservatives and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm like, that's a good call.
Yeah. The past food tour would be good.
Yeah, food tour.
That would be good.
See, for me, no. Yeah. For me, no past food tour.
Oh, that's true.
Like, veggie for vegetarians, it keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
But, you know, I think that I guess I'm just, like, in the mood to party right now, but I'm like, I also would like to, like, I whenever, like, I watch Mad Men or shit like that and everyone's just, like, smoking and drinking whiskey, I'm like, I would like to be in, like, a workplace for a day where everyone's just, like, getting sauced and smoking cigs and sexually harassing each other. Yeah.
The good old days.
Your boss is like, drunk and he's touching you and...
Yeah,
that's fine.
Because he looks like John Hamm.
Bosses and mascots, you know?
They all look like John Hamm, for sure.
Yeah, all of them.
That's what it is. The thing about Mad Men is that John Hamm is actually an 18-year-old in the show. That's what 18-year-olds used to look like. It's really wild what water has done. Just for
water and not smoking every moment of every day.
Yeah,
that's true. People look a lot younger now.
Oh, and sunscreen, I guess too, huh?
Yeah, sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sunscreen even in our lifetime, man. I mean, I remember I hated sunscreen as a kid because it was so sticky and like oily.
Mm-hmm. It's come a long way.
Yeah, doesn't bother me. I'm over the psychological hatred of it, which is nice.
You know what it was? You just triggered a memory for me. I'm wondering if anyone else's parents had this. It was a sunscreen called Bullfrog. Anyone else?
It sounds familiar.
It smelled so bad. It made your eyes hurt. It was like pouring gasoline on your face. Nothing?
No.
No. That.
Nothing?
Did not have that. No. We had a lot of copper tone, but it was just like... Because we were all... What my parents should have done is they should have put it on us at like the place we were staying and not waited until we got to the beach and put it on. Because when you can like see the ocean and then you're covered in sand and lotion and you're just like, it always just felt like having to wait was just like an affront to my good time.
Yeah.
To my good time.
And I resented it.
Did you do tanning beds when you were a kid? Or...
I have not.
We've talked about tanning beds recently.
Oh, really?
Because we were like, are they still around? I mean, they're still
around. They're still around.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. I did one like once for something, but felt weird about it. I was like, this feels like a weird future thing, but also the past. I don't know.
Yeah. You're right. There is something very futuristic about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those were good. Like tanning bed sunscreens and that, like early aughts sunscreen smelled really good. It smelled the same as like Malibu rum.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That just tanning oil has a very good smell.
Yeah.
Okay, Jean.
Serious.
Yes.
Yeah. Serious question.
Yes. Serious.
If you could ask one question to an all knowing being, what would it be?
Oh.
Immediately I think about something about myself.
That's okay. That's fine. Totally okay.
I mean, that's more honest than most people would be.
Fuck everybody.
You know, not world hunger or an all-knowing being. I guess I would ask about an afterlife and, you know, how is it possible that if there is an afterlife, that it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I don't understand the concept of eternity, but I guess what happens to us after we die? Is it just nothing, or is there something? Are there people waiting for us? That's, I guess, what I'd probably ask.
I mean, that's a pretty good question. I like that. Also, can you opt out of the forever? Like, maybe like...
Yeah, right?
200 years of eternity feels like enough. Then just like...
Yeah,
I think
200 years sounds good.
Right. Well, you know, I grew up Catholic and my mom would say, well, if you're good, you go to heaven forever. It's eternal. And I'm like, but really? And there's no stopping? Because that kind of sounds miserable. Just forever and ever and ever? There's never.
But then where do you escape to more forever?
I know.
Then you just blink out.
Oh yeah, go into nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
it's always hard to know. Like, you're like, would I care that I didn't exist if I didn't know I didn't exist?
Right.
Right.
Do you guys believe in past lives?
I kind of do a little bit, because like, have you ever seen those videos of like little kids that have like very specific memories of like a weird previous life, that it's like, how the hell would you know that anyway? Like, I don't know that I'm open to the idea of it, and I think it's like an interesting thing if that was true, and I like the idea of it, so kind of you know, that's the way most of my beliefs are, where I'm just like, that would be cool if that was real. I mean, I'm not going to kill anybody over it, but that would be cool if that
I'm
was
like,
real.
I don't have enough time to dedicate to thinking about that, but sure. That's where I feel like
I don't really believe in that, but if it's true, you know, cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm open to the possibility it could be true, but I don't think that it is.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I got a past life reading once that was like really interesting, and I was like, okay, I mean, of course I want the, you know, one's like, you were a warrior, you know, it's like, okay, well, like,
No one was ever an insurance salesman.
Yeah, exactly.
I was a druid, dog. I was at fucking Stonehenge back in the day. I was like, hell yeah, I was.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, you were someone who played, you know, 12 hours of PS5 every day.
I mean, that's the thing, like, in like 200 years in the future from now, people, like psychics that are doing past life regressions, are going to have much less interesting past lives to tell people about.
You were a TikToker.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you looked at your, let me tell you about the screen time in your former life.
I do think about that, like, to a certain extent, of like how little we're actually leaving behind that tells about our lives. Like, now that everything is digital, it's like you can tell so much about past civilizations by like the manuscripts and the crafts that they made and shit like that. But like, once an iPhone dies, the content dies too. Right? Like, we're not really preserving much about our own culture.
Well, I guess if people are still making like art and writing books and building things, that would
stick
around.
Stuff will be around, but it's like, it'll be hard to like look at the lives of like, you know, and not like just a regular person, probably, you know.
Yeah. Or like, will they think that, okay, whatever, it does exist in the physical realm, are they going to assign like more importance to that than it actually had, because that's like all we're leaving behind?
That's true. What I think we need is, we need a safe full of every kind of charger. And we say, like, in case of you know, apocalyptic event, break this open. And then, like, I mean,
our TikTok dances on it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look at the tribal dances of the the 2020s. These all meant something.
Okay, we gotta take another quick break. We'll be back.
All right.
Hey, everybody, we're back. I'm Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Jean.
Lady problem time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what the deal is. Give us a phone call, 323-6BUT30, or email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them?
ladies. I'm calling you from Canada. I've been a huge fan of yours since you had a baby on your pod. I'm calling with a lady problem. I have a friend who it's always been really important to her to have a boyfriend or a partner. She is in her late 30s, and she usually does have a partner, but she's just like so willing to settle because of her, I don't know, like obsession, I guess, with having a partner. It's like really important to her. And she's had some really awful partners in the past, people who've like been really controlling or abusive. And she just like gets back out there every time, and she's willing to put up with an astonishing amount. And we don't want to alienate her. And we've been through this a lot of times where we don't want to like throw her off talking to us. We have this big group of friends. Well, not big. There's like six of us, group of friends, and we talk all the time. We have like a messenger chat. And right now she's dating this guy who, like, yes, he is the least offensive person that she's ever dated, but he basically is like a blob of a human being. They don't have sex. She's really thrilled he's moving in, but like he doesn't seem to contribute anything. And she's always like, oh, I'm walking his dog, but he moved in before he himself even moved in. And like, I feel like his contributions are just like playing video games in the corner, and she's like so excited to like do his laundry for him. And she's an incredibly successful person. She is like such a boss. She's she works in business. She makes quite a bit of money. She owns multiple homes and is a landlord. Like, she's doing really well for herself. And it just, I don't know, I just find it really sad that she just shoots so low with a partner, and she's so insecure on her own. And I don't know how to support her with this area of her life. I don't want to be judgmental, but also I care a lot, and I want her to have the happiest, best life in the whole world. And so I was just wondering for any advice that you might have about how to be a supportive friend, even though she forever is like desperate for a partner and willing to put up with garbage men. Thank you so much, ladies. Have a great day. Bye.
Oh, that's hard.
Oh my God.
I always think just loneliness is a hell of a drug. That's all I can ever think with this kind of stuff, because it's just like people really, you know, don't want to be lonely. And they definitely make choices that they might not otherwise make just to not be alone. And it's really tough.
I feel like long term, when this ends, and it will, she needs either a pet or a baby.
Yes, put that energy into something else.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels like, because this isn't a partner. Like, what she has is like, she has a, you know, she likes to date a project or, you know, something that she can be a mommy to, basically. Like, it's not like an equal partnership. You know,
it seems like she doesn't she doesn't take breaks after relationships to work on herself and change whatever pattern she has.
Yeah, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a common thing, I think, because it's like, well, like, love is a drug. Relationships are, like, that oxytocin is a drug. So I think a lot of people, rather than detox from that, just get their next fix kind of right away. Maybe it's helpful. I feel like sometimes in situations like this, it's best to just, like, pose questions to the person. You know, like, what are you looking for in a partner? Like, next time she's single, or like, what would your ideal guy be? Or like, what are you hoping is going to happen with this relationship? Or what's your favorite thing about him? Or what do you really like? Just having her kind of like asking the question and letting her kind of arrive at that stuff on her own, maybe might be the best way to get her to be a little bit more introspective about why she's making these decisions.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just, you know, we've kind of talked about this before, but when they're dating a blob, it's harder because it's not like they're being outright shitty in a way that you can speak up against. Yes. They're just a blob, you know.
Yes. So
you
know, that's a big prob.
Yeah.
Blob probs.
We got blob probs.
I have a friend back home who's, you know, she's always been in a relationship, and she's dated some guys that were like pretty emotionally abusive. And now she's with a guy who's just a blob. And she was so happy about him at first, and we were all kind of like, well, he's the least bad one, right? So
yeah.
But they have a kid together, and now he just doesn't really help out, and she's so frustrated, and she doesn't want to say anything to him, or but it's just like she gets really defensive if you tell her like, oh, he should be helping out more. So I don't know. It's hard because you just have to let people do their own thing and like come to solutions on their own. I guess you can help them, like Tess said, asking questions.
But yeah, like, and that's, it's always just comes back to that. Like, you can't really lead a, you know, you can't lead a horse to water. Like, they have to just get there themselves. But I do have a suggestion. Watch media where blobs are represented.
Do you recommend any blob media?
Well, okay, specifically, I'm watching the first few seasons of Vanderpump Rules again. And
there's some blob.
There are a lot of bad relationships on this show that you're like, why? Why are you together? There's blobs. There's just people who it's like, they shouldn't be together. Jax is a good example of, you know, this the woman he's dating kind of outlines for him like, you're this old, you don't have your shit together, you're not working on anything, why would I be with you? And I do think that often it's easier to see your own relationship, like, from, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're able to, like, watch another person in that and be like, oh, shit, like, that's what I'm going through. So I would read, that's the only one I can think of at the moment because I'm actually watching it. But I do think that Kristen on this show, Kristen Doughty, is one of those people who can't be alone. She's always just with losers and just like desperate to be with somebody. Mm-hmm. And so maybe if your friend sees a little bit of a representation of themselves in something, it might like click something on, you know? So I would do a little research into like maybe some media that has stuff like that. I mean, I would recommend this show. I don't know if you guys watch it, but it does like really just make you be like, God, why are they together? And maybe she might. Mm-hmm. Seeing it from the other side, be like, oh, wait a minute, that's my situation.
Have a blob. Yeah.
I mean, I think there can also be like, not like bragging about like the relationship you guys are in, but if you're also like, well, this is like a date that we went on, these are things that like we did together, like, you know, be like, this is what adult
like,
relationships
this is the standard this, that hopefully
yeah exactly
yes that helped me when I was in a bad relationship. I saw this couple doing things together, this couple that was close to my boyfriend, and I was like, oh well, I don't have that.
Oh, there you go. I like this. Everyone be like, all right, let's all step it up for a few months together. And like really,
really
this guy goes to yoga
this guy.
With her.
Right.
You'll go to yoga with me.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I will say one possibly optimistic piece of optimistic news is I do feel like very often a blob is a transitional lens. Like, it means you're leaving your asshole period. Like, you need a soft.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so maybe it means she's making progress if she's with the blob.
Yeah. And she's got friends who, like, friends who really care about her, it seems, which is great.
Yeah.
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 Definitely.
I mean, we're sitting here talking about this blob girlfriend. This lady's a landlady. That's more than I can say for myself. So.
yeah
it's I mean, people have so much, you know, who knows where it comes from for her insecurity. Obviously there's so much deep-rooted shit that like you're not gonna be able to get to, you know.
Well, and it is hard when you're like a boss lady too to find somebody that like is, you know, on your level.
It's like not really possible.
It's difficult because it's like, you know, and I don't really think that that necessarily even means that you have to have somebody that is as like business successful as you, but you do need to have somebody that can be like supportive and like, you know, you do work well as a team, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
No, the successful woman thing is like no joke. Like it's very hard to find people, I think, like who are on the same par. Yeah. So she might, it's like, again, she's like, I'd rather just like be with someone, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes go-getters sometimes shy away from those relationships because maybe in life you're just used to being the go-getter. And so you that you kind of seek out that comfort of knowing that you're always going to be the alpha rather than reality you would be pushing further if you had someone that was meeting you there. But I think a lot of times those personality types do seek out less kind of like ambitious people because they're more comfortable being the one that's kind of on top.
Yeah. Well, you can feel like you're in control, and you can also feel like you're like, well, all right, he's never going to leave. Whatever. Like, I'm in charge of how this goes.
Right. Right. It's another thing that they can be in charge of.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He needs me too much.
Yeah. Exactly.
In charge of folding his boxers and I'm never leaving.
I'll say this, and I don't know if it's helpful for any of our listeners, but I was talking to a girlfriend recently who she did her husband's laundry once, and then he stopped doing his own laundry. I said, oh, no. Oh, no. I said, I never do Sean's laundry. And she said, how? I said, I just don't do it. I said, how do I stop
They're
doing
separate.
It? I said, just stop doing it.
So yeah.
Ladies. Just stop doing it.
I don't. Yeah, the only time I ever is if like one of his shirts accidentally gets in with my stuff. That's the only time.
Exactly. Literally.
And look, if his stuff ends up in my stuff, then I just start wearing it because I'm like, oh,
I did once. I would do my boyfriend's laundry, and then one time he came home and he did some laundry, but didn't do any of mine, and I stopped doing his laundry after that. I was like, I'm not. This is not reciprocal. No. I'm so mad.
Yeah. Well, also, like, to be fair, I don't think Adam would want me doing his because it'd be like, oops, I left it in the dryer for a week and now it's wrinkled. I'm not really the person to be in charge of keeping anything clean.
Honestly, for me, it came out of originally, I hate other people doing my, like, I don't want anyone else doing my
laundry.
It's
just personal.
It's too personal. Yeah, and a boy can't be trusted with delicates.
No.
So I delineated it right off the bat more because I didn't want him touching mine.
Mm. Right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Very fair.
Yeah. To live with a man, you're going to have something ruined. Whether it's your shirt or your life or dinner.
I love that it's like the something borrowed, something blue, and then afterwards, something ruined, something dirty.
Something torn to pieces. Yeah. Something dried on high.
Something blue, balls. Okay. Hey. But yeah, sorry, the blob. We've all been there. You just gotta.
It's progress.
Be there for your friend.
I like what Tess said about it being maybe a transition period into not assholes. That's good. And like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe are your partners like, could your partners take the blob out? And like, just have like.
There's no makeover for the blob. There's no.
No.
I don't know.
And here's one more thing about the blob I'll say that I've been thinking. The blob is always a bigger problem for the friends. And no one really thinks that. We're like, oh, my poor friend, she's with the blob.
Right.
Your friend is fucking that blob. Okay.
It feels not, apparently,
but your friend is finding, there's a reason your friend's with that blob. But the friends, it's terrible, right? Because like the blob is at his blobbiest. When he's out with the friends.
Yeah.
So
he just wants to be playing his PlayStation. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. I think sometimes, it's hard. You're the one you have to like put up this front and pretend like you like him at all when your partner actually does like them or want to be with them in some fashion.
For some reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. Tale is blob as old as time, you know?
Blob as old as time. Beauty and the Blob.
All blobs wear the same jeans too, right? With the little hammer hook underneath the pocket.
Yeah, of course.
Where the fuck do they get that
ill-fitting,
shit?
Ill-fitting and very frayed on the bottom because they've been worn for way too many times.
Yeah. Like, I don't see that cut anywhere. I don't know where they get it from. It's not. It's all. They all know each other. It's Reddit. They get their jeans from Reddit.
They have a sister to the traveling pants vibe or whatever.
Yeah. Sweatpants.
The longer hood of the traveling.
Oh, boy.
All right. We got one more lady problem.
Hey, ladies. All right. So I got not so much a question, but more like tips and tricks for embracing your personal style. A little backstory. I have gone through like a lot of changes in my life and what I needed my like clothing to do for me. I changed careers a couple of times and I went back to school. So now I'm a full-time student and I do consulting with tech where the dress code really is non-existent. Like it is whatever you want it to be. And I also just moved and got married. A lot's happened. But because we just moved and I'm unpacking my wardrobe, I'm like looking at all these clothes that don't really seem right for me anymore, but I don't know how to find what fits my life. And every day when I go to my closet, I'm like, oh, what me do I need to be? So yeah, how do you get over that? Love you, bye.
I so identify with this, right? I'm really going through it lately where I look in my closet and I'm like, I just don't have any... Like, I don't have anything that I really, like, love on me slash, like, mm-hmm. want to wear on stage or for work or whatever the fuck it is, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's tough. It's because making those trends, it's not, it's also expensive. It's not, like, an easy, it's expensive to buy the clothes. It's annoying to try on the clothes. It's, like, a whole thing, you know? So I get it for sure. I think it's about getting basics, like, really, like, I have a few, like, mock turtleneck things that I love that, like, I found a place. I like them. I bought a few different colors. I think you want to get like some, you know, a basic like thing going of a few mix and match things that you feel good about and you feel like look right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Black is always a good color because it matches with everything.
Yeah.
And that's the best color. Yeah.
Just, yeah, solid colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did, I stopped probably like 4 or 5 months ago, but for like a year and a half or almost 2 years, I was renting clothes. And honestly, like that really helped me. Like, I actually really recommend that kind of if you can swing it, because first of all, like when you're renting, like you just kind of make bold choices. You're like, yeah, fuck it, I'm renting. I'll wear this insane jacket or this crazy dress or whatever. So you can kind of be a little bit more experimental without it being like a big financial commitment. And then it also like taught me like, oh, I kind of keep renting this kind of thing or like I didn't return that jacket for like 3 months. Why? Because like, I want a nice puffer, you know? Mm-hmm. So like when it was time to like, when I got sick of all the clothes I was renting and I was shopping, I had like a much better idea of like what I like and what I want and kind of like what my style is. Actually, it really helped a lot. So
yeah.
Where would you rent from? A lot.
Rent the Runway.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Heard of that.
Yeah. I was doing one of those boxes for a while where you have like a I can't remember what it's called, but you have a shopper, you kind of like put in your sizes and like what style you're into and you can decide how often you want to get the box, you know. Mm-hmm. And basically like I would end up keeping, you get, you know, $20 off or something every time you keep the thing, so I'd end up keeping at least one. And you can also choose what level of like money you're looking to spend. And it did definitely introduce me to like new styles I don't know if I would have tried on, and like things that fit me in ways that I might not have looked for before. So I do recommend that if you're, oh, Stitch Fix, that's it. If you're just like I, because also for me, I didn't have to have time, you know, to be going out. And I think this takes care of that aspect sometimes, just like, and you, then you could go online and you could buy that or other versions of that thing if you liked it as well. So it kind of took out like the middleman and just like you get things sent to you that you can like try on in the safety of your home, which we all know at the dressing room is a nightmare. Yeah, so I think that was a good other option too, kind of similar to Rent the Runway, you know, as well, where you kind of like having it just sent to you and you can figure it out from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think like similarly, but it is also just like going to like thrift stores and just looking through clothes, because you get a million different styles like there too, just to be like, oh, I never would have tried on a dress cut like this or whatever. Like, you know, you can always just check stuff out there, and that's very low risk. Like, I've definitely found a lot of pieces that I'm like, oh, this is cool and weird and new. I also feel like a couple of good cardigans like can dress up nothing. Like, you can just be wearing like a ratty t-shirt, and a cardigan like elevates it, you know, pretty easily. So it's like there's like little, like, yeah, I think like basics and certain things that you're like, oh, well, this can like take something that would be like more casual and actually like could be in an office space, especially if you're working in like a tech consultancy position.
Yeah, I will say that's one really good thing about like social media now, is that depending on like what you look like and what you're looking for, you know, I just started following this woman who is like, you know, my same size, and you know, she just tries on all the outfits for you. She tries them on and she sits down in them, which I was like, this is genius. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Because you never, it's like always standing, but you're like, oh, I'm also sitting all the time. Like, what does that look like when you sit down, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And she has all the links, like, shop this look, shop this. And so, look online for creators that, like, you know, maybe are same size as you, whatever, have your vibe. And like, that's really helpful because they're already trying on the shit for you and kind of like showing you what it looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say on that tip, Rent the Runway has a feature like that where like all the stuff, the girls who've like rented it before will a lot of times like upload pictures of them.
Oh, that's huge.
In yeah. it, and it'll be like, I'm a size this. This is my like, you know, whatever weight, cup size, whatever. So that you get like a good, it's not a model you're looking at it on.
Yeah. Every time it's like no matter what, every time I'm like at a store and I see like a mannequin, I'm like, that's what that will look like on me. And it's like, that's not what that will look like on you. But every time my brain is like, oh, that's what that is. It's like, no, you have giant boobs. Like, this is not what this looks like.
Oh, no, my head's gone. What happened?
Mannequins are the ultimate blobs.
Yeah. Also, do a clothing swap. Like, I always find, mm-hmm. I just had some pieces that I like went to a random clothing swap, and like some of my favorite new pants are like from that. So if you have friends who are like looking to switch stuff up too, that's always a fun way to do it for like no money, and then, you know, you can find some new stuff.
Yeah, those are always really great because then you're like, oh, I've seen that on you and I like it. And it also feels nice when somebody takes your clothes too to be like, hell yeah, hell yeah.
No, you see them out in the wild and you're like, oh, you're mm-hmm. living a whole new life now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also like a huge fan of jewelry, but like especially earrings. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. earrings, you can wear like a really simple shirt, and then like if you're in the mood, like a big earring or a, I don't know, like I just feel like there's a lot of like creativity and ways to like change up, or pendants. I like necklaces and pendants too, because like mm-hmm. it can be pretty simple or something that's pretty casual, and then you can elevate it
yeah
with the right accessory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like a red lip does a similar thing too, where it's just like, whatever you're wearing, throw on some lipstick, and
I've had to give up on lipstick. I'm just not a lipstick girl. It looks so, it just like looks harsh on me. But you know what? I found that out, so that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. The important thing is to know about yourself. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always feel clown-esque. And not the clown I want to be, you know what I mean? Because I do want to be a clown.
Yeah, dress for the clown you want to be, not for the clown you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Jean, thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on. This was fun.
Congrats on the new album.
Thank you.
Let everyone know, where they can find it, where they can find you, all that jazz.
So it's going to be on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, right, Brandy? And it comes out it comes out tomorrow, February 2nd.
Yeah.
For on presale.
For pre-sale, and then it's available for pre-sale February 2nd through, and then it comes out wide release February 16th. So yeah, if you're listening right now, you can buy a copy to support Jean. That would be amazing. And it's super funny. Like, I didn't know you as a comic, and then when we connected, I was like, oh, this is just a really great, funny album. Like, you really get a sense of like who you are on it, and it's a delight to listen to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's my first album. I'm really excited about it.
And it's called Passionate Aggressive.
Yes.
I love that name. It's so good.
Thank you.
It's such a good name. Yeah, this is through Brandy's album label, Burn This Record. So follow that, you guys. She's releasing so many albums this year with incredible comics. So definitely follow her and everything she's doing there, because it's... Me and Tess were just talking about in the car the other day. We're like, damn, Brandy's amazing. It's just really impressive. It's really impressive that what you're doing and supporting like a lot of great comics. So.
Yeah, the amount of work that you're doing and that I imagine you're doing for everyone's album is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm doing, you know, whatever.
I'm busy. Yeah, I'm busy.
As I look over to the right and I look at the release schedule that's already set through July, I'm like, yeah.
This was ambitious? Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that was a thing I decided to do. But, I feel like there's any good project will have that moment. You know what I mean?
So. Oh, for sure. And like, honestly, like everyone's albums that are so freaking funny. And it's been really great getting to like know other comics that I like didn't know that well before. It's like I had never really met Jean before. And it's like, she's a delight. And it's very fun to like, you know, get to know you and like through your comedy and like for more people to hear it too. And that's kind of a big point of the label, is also just like, you know, to introduce comics that like, you know, the gatekeepers might not know about yet. to, you know,
yeah,
to
totally. Be like,
you don't
fuck
need,
it.
That shit doesn't
we're doing
matter.
Our own thing.
Yeah,
we're fuck the gatekeepers the forever.
Yeah, put fuck out your own. Fuck the gatekeepers. Put out your own shit. Like
the age of Aquarius, you guys.
Yeah, it's like if you've ever met a gatekeeper, you know that they aren't the ones picking taste. You know, so yeah. It's like
who gave you a gate, motherfucker?
Yeah,
that was that was a big thing for me to learn. Is like, oh, it's not about who's the most talented. It's about who has the most followers and.
Yeah. All this
it is
shit.
About the dumbest people being in charge and picking right. It's just all whatever. Yeah. It's all a mess.
No, exactly.
Anyway,
it's all a mess. We rule.
And that's why we don't want to look at the future. Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, everybody.
Thanks, Jean.
We'll talk to you
Thank
next
you.
Time.
Okay. Talk
Bye,
to you
everyone.
Next time.
Bye, guys. We'll Bye. See you next week.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I just finished your episode where you were talking about wanting to meet Fabio, and I wanted to share my Fabio story. Back in the early to mid-2000s, my husband did some special effects work for a commercial that Fabio was in. So Fabio was at their studio. They were wrapping things up, and my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time, called me to see if I wanted to come down to meet Fabio, and of course I wanted to. So I headed down there, and they were doing some picture opportunities, and most of the studio, they were men. So the person that was taking the pictures would have each person, you know, come up to Fabio, and Fabio would kind of throw his arm around their shoulders, and they would take the picture. And then finally, it was my turn. And I went up to Fabio expecting to, you know, have him put his arm around me and take a picture. And instead, he swooped me up in his arms and flipped me over into a dip, very romance novel, bodice-ripping pose and took the picture that way. It was hilarious. And I was not expecting it, and I wish I had the picture. I would send it to you, but it was back before, like, iPhones and pictures on your phone were really a thing. And unfortunately, it's been lost forever. But anyway, that is my story of meeting Fabio. And if you guys do meet him, I hope he does that to you. Thanks.
Hi, ladies. I'm just listening to your most recent episode, and you were talking about what you should do for Leap Day. And whether it's for public laughs or just for your own little giggles, I definitely think you should rewatch the Leap Day episode of 30 Rock. Tina Fey, she's a funny lady. It's a funny episode. It's a good time. That's what I, not every leap year, but the leap years I remember, I at least watched the Leap Day episode of 30 Rock because it's a banger. All right, hope you guys have a great week. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.